In the last episode, we talked about getting clear on your assignment. And if you haven't heard it, I need you to stop this podcast recording, go back and listen to it, okay? But today we're going even deeper. So I need you to be honest with me and yourself for a second. How much time have you spent looking at what somebody else is building and wondering why yours doesn't look like that? Raise your hand. Why her brand is cleaner, why her following is bigger, why she seems so sure of herself and you're still over here second guessing everything. And here's the part nobody says out loud. Sometimes we're not even sure if what we're building is really from God or if we want it because we saw someone else do it first. And child, we are unpacking all of that today. I hope I still have my edges by the end of this recording, and I hope you do too. So welcome back to Conversations with the Courageous Christian Homegirl. I'm your host, Whitney. If you're new here, welcome, girl. And if you're not new here, thank you for returning. That means that you really do like me. So in this episode of Hear God, Then Build, today we're going to be talking about something that will mess with your clarity faster than almost anything else. And that's comparison, honey. So let's get into it. I have to be transparent. I told y'all I'm putting all my business out there. And this is really a glimpse into my life. And it is wild what comparison can do to you. So I do remember when I first started out in business, I was looking at everybody else's things. This was about 2018, 2019. And I had a beauty brand at the time. So I'm looking at what this person is putting out. I'm looking at the big companies. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But I was actually comparing myself to what those people were doing. And it was, I'm trying to keep up as a small brand new business. It was a lot. Okay. Then I had to pray and ask God, where do you want me? So then he told me what to build. But then I was looking at other people's communities and I'm like, oh, well, what is this Christian woman doing? Okay. She has guest speakers. Okay. So she's doing this. So I need to do this. She's using this. So I need to do this. And y'all, I completely spiraled. Okay. I started questioning everything. Is this good enough? Is this person's better? Are people going to join my membership? You know, should I change my whole approach? Should I even be doing this? Should I even be doing this? And here's what's crazy. I wasn't really comparing apples to apples, and we never are. You have to realize that other people are in different seasons and they have a completely different assignment and a completely different audience. And see, I didn't know any of that first because I didn't take step one to figure that out. But because everything looks so similar on the outside, I started to measure my inside with those other businesses outside. And that's going to break you every single time. And it wasn't until I actually sat down and got with coaches that aligned with the vision that God had gave me and really just sitting down and writing it and defining what success looks like for my assignment separate from everybody else's. I had to have tunnel vision. And that's when the comparison started losing its power. It's actually reminding me of this book my son reads called Milo's Monster. That book be ministering to me, y'all, because it is about how I want to say, like, it was about jealousy. And it's another one called Ruby's Worry. Basically, the books are talking about how you can get so consumed with things, but then as soon as you call it out, it loses its power. And that's what comparison does. As soon as you call it out and you just get focused, it loses its power. And that's actually a piece of the worksheet that I've been, you know, talking about. I talked about in episode one. So I'll give you more information before we wrap up on that if you have not grabbed it. But here's what I really need y'all to understand. The moment you start measuring your assignment against somebody else's, you stop hearing God. And you really start chasing that feeling. And I think that's when you get into the God told me. But it, listen, not today. And it's like a feeling of never being satisfied. There will always be somebody further along than us. I don't care if you think not. There will always be somebody with a bigger platform. There will always be somebody showing up and they look more confident. There's going to be always. But your assignment is not designed for her life. is designed for yours. The specific experiences that you've had, the pain you've carried, the people that only you can reach, none of that transfers over into the next person assignment. It's uniquely yours. And when I started to realize, like, God is taking me through this, that, and the third, woo-wop-da-bam, it started to make sense. Like, God has taken me through these things because it's my assignment, it's my testimony, it's uniquely mine. Now, there will be people you will meet that have a similar experience, but it will not ever be the same as yours. And this is exactly why step one of the Hear God and Build worksheet asks you to define what does done look like for your project, your assignment, your thing. Because when you really anchor it in your own words and your own vision, you don't need that other person to validate it. You feel me? It's huge. It's breakthrough. Feel deliverance happening. I want y'all to think about this for a second, though. Is there anybody in scripture who was called to do what somebody else is already doing? Not unless the Lord had transferred that assignment, because he would do. Moses wasn't David. Ruth wasn't Esther. God didn't need to copy. He needed the original. You are the original. He needs your original too, not the polished version, because honey, I'm a former perfectionist. As I'm recording this episode, I'm thinking about all the things that I could be doing differently. Like, maybe I should edit that out. Maybe I should do this. No, he told me to get behind the mic. He didn't tell me to polish it up. When I first started podcasting, I didn't have the best mic. I had a good mic. Okay. I had a good computer. I didn't have the best, but I did it. And guess what? When God sees that you're stewarding what he has called you to do well, he will upgrade you. My mom literally was like, oh, I think she asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and she got me the mic that I wanted, and my husband upgraded my computer. Because he was like, babe, I can't hire you out here. My fan was loud, but I didn't care. Okay? I love that computer. But the point is, God, when God calls you to do something, it may be unpolished. You may not have the fancy ring light and all the different things, right? He doesn't want the version of you that has it all together. The real, specific, particular you with your story, your voice, your mess, your perspective, that's what he anointed. The world does not need another version of her. Whoever that her is, it needs the first version of you. And I need you to sit with that, because you are perfect. You are perfect. God made you the way that he made you. He made your voice the way he made your voice. And that is really for me. Okay? Because I hear other people on their podcast and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love the way she sounds. I could listen to her all day. She's so great. This. And it becomes like, okay, I'm going to try to sound like this person and, you know, do all the things that this person is doing. And it really never works out in the way that you think. Now, here's a distinction I want you to make, because I know some of y'all are like, but Whitney, girl, isn't it good to look at other people and what they're doing to make sure there's a market for your thing? And sure. You know, coaches, the gurus, whatever, be like comparative analysis and all of those things. But here's the thing for me. I know God called me to a specific person. I know he did. And I see that through the work that I do. So yes, there is a difference. So looking at what somebody else built to confirm that people want what you have, sure. But also, I want you to know that looking at what whoever the she is built to measure what you're doing, that's a trap. You can be like, oh, okay, like, I don't know. Somebody said there's not an original idea. And yeah, somebody's either done it, a piece of it, whatever. Sure, I look at other people and I'm like, oh, I like her style. I like this. I like that. But I no longer try to do the same thing that person is doing, because that's not what God called me to do. It's nothing wrong with doing like a, what is it called? A SWOT analysis. The OT is nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, that's business at the end of the day. You have to, right? But I want you to just use the market to confirm that, oh, okay. Like, okay, I got it. You know what I'm saying? If you know that you're in the market for, I don't know, I'm going to just use my girl Dharma Dana, but she has a hair growth oil, right? obviously, I'm sure she'd be looking around like, oh, the girls ain't got no edges, right? Or the girls keep talking about they want long, beautiful, thick hair. Okay, cool. I'm sure she's not comparing her brand to other brands, but she's looking at the market, and it's called market research for a reason. You have to research. Even in my day job, they do market research in order to build their business case and all of the things that product managers do. You have to look at the market, because at the end of the day, it is kind of competition, unfortunately. But y'all get what I'm saying. And if you don't, just pray and ask God to give you revelation, because we got to move on. But use the market to confirm that the need is there, but use God's words to confirm your assignment too. And use your own clarity, not the person's content calendar, not that person's guide on how to execute. Because I've worked with a couple different folks, and while yes, I take what they say with a grain of salt, but I know my assignment is different. So take that foundation and build your own. And this is actually what I have been doing, is being like, okay, God, these are my goals. Does this align? Like, this is what I'm seeing. Does this align with what you have for me? Simple, right? The worksheet that I keep mentioning, y'all, it gives you a place to define your assignment. It helps you kind of just like break down what the assignment is without really needing that external validation. Yes. And so when it's clear on paper, then you can really see it and understand it and confirm it. Okay. So it will be linked in the show notes. So go down there and click it. Okay. If you have any issues, just let me know. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down, just for yourself, don't share it, but just name the name of one person you've been comparing yourself to, the name of one person, and then answer, what is it about her assignment that you admire? And what do you think, how does it compare to yours? Or like, I'm trying to make sure it's not like confusing. And okay, so yes, what do you think, or how do you think it compares to yours? Y'all had like a brain fart. Then take it to God and ask him to show you where he wants to take what you have and completely separate it from what that person is doing. Because you could say, oh, Lord, I love what this person is doing. I see how they're impacting, you know, and I know you probably, or maybe you did or didn't give them a framework or blueprint or whatever. You could be like, Lord, what is the blueprint for how you see me doing this in ministry? What is the blueprint? Because at the end of the day, there are a lot of communities out here, but I can guarantee you they are not the same. And that's what I had to ask God for. Like, okay, this person is doing this, this person is doing that. But, and I like it. I like it. But what is sustainable?